Good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord. We shall continue our worship with the pastoral prayer and then the sermon. Okay? The Lord be with you. The Lord be with you. And also with me. And also with you. Okay? Let us pray. Today, oh, by the way, happy Mother's Day to all those mothers I have not met yet. Okay? Today we will pray. For during the pastoral prayer, I want to focus more on mothers. Okay? Shall we pray? Father, we just want to come before you as one people, your people. We thank you for your goodness to us the past week, the past year, past years. Thank you for your presence with us, your provision, your protection. Father, today we want to remember a special group of people, mothers, whom you have privileged to give, to bring life into being, to nurture this life until they grow up to be men and women that will thirst after you. They will come to know you in a real and personal way. God, our Creator, we pray for new mothers coming to term with new responsibility, for expectant mothers wondering and waiting, for those who are tired, stressed, or depressed, for those who struggle to balance the tasks of work and family, for those who are unable to feed their children due to poverty, for those children whose children have physical, mental, or emotional disabilities, for those who have children they do not want, for those who have to raise the children on their own, for those who have lost a child, for those who care for the children of others, for those whose children have left home, and for those whose desire to be a mother has not been fulfilled. Bless all mothers, dear God, that their love may be deep and tender, and that they may lead their children to know and do what is good, living not for themselves alone, but for God and for others. We thank you for the love of mothers you have given us, whose love is so precious they can never be measured, whose patience seems to have no end. May we see your loving hand behind them and guiding them. We pray for those mothers who fear they will run out of love or time or patience. We ask you to bless them with your own special love. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This morning, we will continue with the series on the Lord's Prayer. One Day at a Time is the title of this morning's sermon. This is part of Matthew chapter 6 verse 11. The Lord's Prayer. Shall we all pray together? Okay. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as in the heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As I studied the book of, I studied the Lord's Prayer, I find that there is so much in it, that there is so much gem, so much treasure in it, that the more I dig, the more I receive, the more I discover. So today we shall focus on give us this day our daily bread. And I have so much to share that I decided to break it into three sermons. One day at a time, which is give us today, is what I'll share with you this morning. Our God gives is what I will share with you this afternoon. So do come back this afternoon. And shed bread, give us. I'll share on the day most of you will be at camp. For those who left behind, I'll share with you the shed bread. Okay, so now if you can't make it to camp for one reason or another, okay, I'll be here to accompany you. So even in one single word, even in one single line, there is so much truth So much we can learn. When Jesus says, when Jesus is teaching us the Lord's Prayer, it's actually, this then is how you pray. Remember, he's talking to Jewish converts or Jewish disciples, first century Jews who are listening to him, who have the background of the Old Testament, okay, who knows all about God and what God has done in their life, who will have the history of the Jewish people been exiled and been brought back, and the rebuilding of the temple. Okay, these are people who listen to Jesus. And then you find that as the whole thing is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And when Jesus says, this is how you pray. Okay, because the disciples asked him, how do we pray? So Jesus says, this is how you pray. You find that actually the whole prayer is a lesson, a instruction on the kingdom of God. Okay, and Jesus is teaching us more about the kingdom of God. And if you analyze the Lord's Prayer itself, you find that, yes, it teaches about the kingdom of God. It teaches about our Father in heaven. Who are we talking about? Who is the one that we should worship? Who is the one that the kingdom of God is all about? Hallowed be thy name. Why? Why should we worship him? Why should we worship God? For what reasons we have to place our emphasis on him? Your kingdom, God, comes. What kingdom? What is the kingdom of God? Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Where? Earth and heaven. And then you see the second part is more of how. How do we live in the kingdom of God? How do we ask God to help us to live in the kingdom of God here and now? The how part is fiscal. Okay? Give us today our daily bread. Emotional. Concerning our soul. Forgives us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. How? Spiritual. And leads us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Sorry for the typo. Okay, so, basically, the Lord's Prayer is a lesson in living in the kingdom of God. And this morning, I'd like to focus on the first part of Matthew 6:11. Give us today. Give us today. Talk about time. Okay. Time is an interesting concept. Basically, how in kingdom living do we use time? Or do we use our concept of time in the kingdom of God? In the, there are two Greek words commonly used in the New Testament to talk about time, to describe time. Okay? The first one is chronos. Okay, I'm sure chronology. Okay, comes from the Greek word chronos. Chronos means linear time. It means you can have beginning and an end. Okay, so you are born, you can get married, you get old, you die. That is linear time. That's chronos time. The universe has a beginning, the universe has the end. So the, when the Greeks use the word chronos, it means it's a linear time. Time, there's a timeline as it goes along. But the Greek also use another word, which Paul uses very often. And Peter and Luke, it's kairos. Okay? You have heard the word kairos before. Haven't you? Yes? No? Yes. Okay. The name of my website is called Kairos Spiritual Formation. Kairos is a special time. It's a special moment in time when something happens. A special event. So it's a special moment. And when the New Testament writers uses the word kairos, it means that this is a time when God intervened in human history. So one example of kairos is when Jesus is born. That's a kairos moment. Another kairos moment is when Jesus died on the cross. That's a kairos moment. Or the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came on the 3,000. That's a kairos moment. When the church was born. So we have to differentiate the two description of time as given by the New Testament authors. Where in time are you now? Okay, it's often interesting to see that we may be sitting here. I can see all your physical bodies here. But where is your mind? Okay, are you physically, you are here. But is your mind in the future or in the past? Or are you here with me now? Are you thinking about what you're going to have for lunch? That's the future. Where are you going for lunch? That's the future. Are you worrying about going to work tomorrow? That's the future. Are you worried about something you left unfinished in your office on Friday? That's the past. So many of us doesn't live in the present moment. We live either in the future or in the past. Very few of us actually live in the present moment. Okay, we are here. We adjust and then we start thinking of everything. Okay, you say, oh, Alex is talking. Oh, okay. Now, have I left the tap running at home? Did I switch off the tap? Did I switch off the, did I close the auto gate? Not so, we are always somewhere else. And when we talk about time, we always ask, where has all the time gone? No, he always says, oh, it's already May. Where has all the time gone? Has somebody come and stole your time? Okay. So time is a concept. And I think that when Jesus says, give us today, or this day, our daily bread, he's talking about a concept and an attitude and a perspective in the kingdom of God about time. Okay. The time is where will you spend most of your time, your day. Where are you now? Do you live in the past? Do you spend most of your time in the past? That's an important question to ask yourself. Do you spend most of your time in your past? Is your past so important, so influential in your life today, that you're actually living out what has happened in the past? Let's bring you to a good, great classic. Okay. Great Expectation by Charles Dickens. Published in 1860 and 61 as a serial. Okay? How many of you have read this book? Yes, I see a few hands. Good. How many of you have heard of this book? More hands. That's why it's a classic. It's described classic as people hear about it, but know about it, but never read it. Now this is one of the good books by Charles Dickens. Okay? And it's a great book to read. Actually, Charles Dickens is a very astute observer of human being, human nature. And we can actually learn a lot of lessons from him. Okay? Basically, the outline of Great Expectation is an orphan boy named Pete, okay, in a small village. Okay? He was employed by a rich spinster called Miss Havisham, okay, who never get married, but she's very rich. She never get out of the house, and she has adopted a girl named Estella. And she need Pete to play with Estella so that she can watch. And then when Pete went and married Estella, he liked Estella, but Estella was cold and distant. And as the story goes on, you find that Pete came into a fortune, and he thought that it was Miss Harrison that gave him the fortune. But actually, the fortune was from a convict, Magwitch, which he helped earlier. So, expectations, false expectation. Okay. But the most tragic person in this story, in this novel, is Miss Havisham. Now, Havisham is not married, is a spinster. But she spent her time in the darkness in the room, in the house, in the big house that she has. And in the house is a wedding cake. And she wears a wedding gown with one shoe. And the clock, all the clocks in the house stop at 9 minutes to noon. And as the story develops, you discover that a man has promised to marry her, didn't turn up, she was jilted. And she lived her life wearing the wedding dress. And the reason why she adopted Estella was so that she can bring her up and train her to be cruel to men as her mode of revenge against all men. Okay, so you see, as Stella grew up with a very vicious, cruel nature formed by Miss Havisham to exact her revenge on men. And that is an excellent example of someone who has been caught in the past, that never left the past, and let the past control her future, her presence. That she grew up bitter, angry, plotting against all men. You say, oh, that's a story. No, look, that's a nice story. But can it happen in our lives? Ask yourself this question. Are you living in the past? Perhaps you were abused as a child, sexually, emotionally, physically. Is your life today living for the present in the present? Or are you living through that experience again and again so that you are so traumatized that you cannot face life's problem? Perhaps you when you're young, you're told that you're not good enough. And that's why you spend the present moment trying to prove to everybody that you are better than everybody else. There's one person I know. When she was in primary school. Hey, Mrs. says, you are not good enough. Okay, compared to the other children, you are bad. Okay, you are weak. And she was angry because she says that the headmistress said that to me is because I come from a poor family and they look down on me. And now she's doing her best. She is the head of a big corporation. She's a multi-millionaire. And yet every day she works to prove herself better than everybody else. I don't think she consciously knows that. But then she has to be the best. You see how the past can live and affect the present. And how we can still live in the past without knowing it. Someone you trust has betrayed you. So can we live with that? Can we learn to trust people anymore? Can we build good relationship? Can we have a good marriage if your past, you've been betrayed and you have not resolved that? And you're still living in that time of betrayal. I think you will have a hard time having a good marriage, building a relationship. So the past does affect us. Let's look at a biblical example. David and his son Absalom. Now we heard a lot about David. Okay, he's a man after God's heart. Now, but he has many wives and many children. And one of his sons, Amnon, lusts after his daughter Tamar and rape her. And Tamar is a sister of Absalom. After raping her, he rejected her. So Tamar was disgraced. So that she went and Absalom took her in. David heard about it. He didn't do anything. The Bible didn't say that, but it has a hint of favoritism in there. So Tamar was living with Absalom. And Absalom was screaming inside. And he wished that his father David, King David, would do something. But David didn't do anything. So after 2 years, Absalom says, organize a party for all his family members. So all the sons of David went, but David didn't go. And Absalom planned that party to assassinate Amnon. Initially, David thought that Absalom killed all his other sons. But when he discovered that it's Amnon, he was so upset that he wanted to kill Absalom. So Absalom fled to the kingdom of Gerar and stayed there for 3 years, hoping and waiting that one day David will forgive him and ask him to come back. But David never did anything. He knows where the son is. Okay, he knows what the cause of Absalom's anger. And Absalom never able to forgive David for that. And that's why Absalom conspired. Okay. After 3 years in exile, David was actually tricked to bring back Absalom to Jerusalem. Israel came back to Jerusalem. But David never saw him for 2 years. So 5 years, Absalom has the rape of his sister and the inaction of the father was on him. So he plotted to take the kingdom from David. So he actually drove David from Jerusalem. Action in the past can affect your life in the present. Action by your parents. That's why it's so important that we be good parents, good fathers and mothers. Okay? Do you have problems with your father and mother when you're young? Were you so badly wounded that you still hurt and react to that wound now? How many of us can say yes or no? How many of us are aware that problems with our parents can affect us now? How we behave, our thinking, our way of life. Do your parents show favoritism? Are you still reacting to that now? Now one of the things we have learned to be when we have parents is never to show favoritism. Sometimes it's hard because you have two kids, one is nice and one is very rotten. You can't help but like the nice one here. But then favoritism is bad. And it does tell the kid. You know, you always remember, you know, mommy always loves Kokol more than me. Okay? But it does affect the kid. And it does affect their life as they grow up. You know, whether we like it or not, we reflect our parents. Now, I always tell the young people, if you want to get married to a beautiful girl, you want to know how she will be like when she grows up, look at the mother. Okay, young man, take note of that. The past affects the present. Yes. But do we live in the past? I think that is the question here. Do we live in the past? Do we dwell on that favoritism? Do we dwell on that wound, the abuse? Do we live in that? As Miss Abasham did. Okay. As Abasham Salam did. Okay. Or do we live in the present? Another thing is, do we live in the future? Some of us doesn't live in the present. Present is where we are, but we actually live in the future. We live for a time when we have enough money. Okay? When we have enough money, then son, I will spend time with you. But in the meantime, don't disturb daddy because he's so busy making money. Okay? Or, you cannot have time to play. You must go and study some more. Okay? Mommy will take you for extra tuition classes and extra things so that when you grow up, you will be successful. So it's always the future that you are living in. Parents give up their whole life so that the son or daughters will have a good life. So they don't live, they just survive and work and earn enough money so that their children will have a future. And this poem, right? Gabriela Mistra, okay, she's from Chile, Chilean poet, the educator, diplomat, and the first Latin American to win the Nobel Prize in Literature in 1945. She says, this of children, we are guilty of many errors and many faults, but our worst crime is abandoning the children, neglecting the fountain of life. Many of the things we need can wait. The child cannot. Right now is the time his bones are being formed, his blood is being made, and his senses are being developed. To him we cannot answer tomorrow. His name is today. Do we live in today with our children at this moment in time? Are we so focused on their future and our future that we have no time for our children today? Okay? Our time is to guide them, tutor them, make sure that they have a good future, but not spend time with them as a parent, as a friend. It's important for us to realize that. So when we have enough money, or when have the future is, no, we want to live in the future. When the children have graduated, then I will spend more time with my wife. Because now we are so busy making money and sending them for tuitions. So we will have we will strengthen our marriage after the children have graduated, or we'll get a divorce after the children have graduated. In the meantime, we just suffer or we just tolerate each other. Okay. Instead of taking the time now to build up relationship, to repair broken bridges, he says, okay, we just give up now. We don't do anything, we just don't look at each other, we just be two strangers in the same house, on the same bed. And we wait until the children graduate, and then we happily have a divorce. Or, not just in a church, and we are Christian, we are so nice, we just separate. Do we live in the future? Or the present? Or, we say, oh, when we are retired, then we will have time to, you know, look after ourselves, have a bit of leisure, do some traveling. In the meantime, we have to work very hard in the present. Well, good for you if you want to retire, but if you want to live in the future may not be what you want to see. You know, now you're young, healthy, you go for a holiday, you can walk, climb the Great Wall of China. At that time when you're retired, you can't even walk. So much for enjoying the future. Or when we are established in our career, and then we will have time to serve in church or do some ministry. In the meantime, you know, you're so busy, I have this course to go, and I have, you know, do overtime. And one of the things that my daughter tell me working in Singapore is that you have to, after work, nobody leaves. Okay? They're not working enough. They are surfing the net. They're just waiting for somebody to leave, and then they all leave. It's like, you know, so that they want to show, you know, we are working very hard, so that we work long hours, so we leave later than others. So, do you live in the present? Are you living in the future? Okay? Putting everything in the future, you're just existing in the present. Or when pigs can fly. Jesus told in this the parable of the rich fool. I love this painting by Rembrandt, the parable of a rich man. You see this at night counting his money. Jesus told this parable about the rich man. He says, well, they got this rich man whose fields are very fruitful. He has a lot of crops. So much crops that his barns cannot hold them. So he says, okay, now I'm so rich, I'll tear down the old barns and build new barns. And I says, you know, I will retire and live in luxury. And God says, you fool. You do not know what the future brings. And when you die, who will take your care of your fortune? So there's a danger of living in the future. But we do not know what the future will bring. That's why when Jesus teaches, pray this way. Give us today our daily bread. He's asking us to live in the present moment. Okay? Focus in the present moment. Rather than the past, we can give the past to the Lord and let Him take care of it. Or the future, okay? We can also give it to the Lord to take care of it. But be present at this very moment. Okay? And Exodus gives us some lessons about that. If you read the book of Exodus, okay, that's the time when after crossing the Red Sea, the parting of the sea, and they're in the desert. Okay, and they say, okay, so now what do we do now? With 500,000 people, how is Moses going to feed us? So they grumble, grumble, grumble. And God says, I'll feed you. Okay. In the morning, when there's dew, when the dew dries, you find these white things on the floor. And Moses says, this is bread or manna from heaven. Okay? I'll focus on more on this, the daily bread in the afternoon sermon. But here the main point is that the manna or the bread appears in the morning, every morning, except the seventh day, the Sabbath. Okay? So every morning, everybody collects. But Moses says, you collect what is enough for yourself, that's all. Don't collect extra. But the Israelites, I think they are very closely linked to the Chinese, because they are very kiasu. So they collect more. Those who collect more suddenly find that overnight, the manna becomes full of maggots and rotten and smelly. But everybody, some people collect more, some people collect less, but everybody finds that they have enough. So that's the interesting thing about it. Everybody has enough. And then it lasts one day. And on the fifth, sixth day, they're supposed to collect double portion. Because 7 days cannot work. So they collect double portion on the sixth day. But on the seventh day, it doesn't rot. So they have enough food. Okay. The lesson of manna in Exodus is teach us to live, to be totally dependent on God for every day of their life. One day at a time. And that, I believe, is what Jesus is trying to tell us. Linking the story of bread and the manna. That we are to live one day at a time. Live in the present moment. Be aware of the present moment. Be aware of where you are now. I think it's important that we live for the present. Otherwise, you grow old and you look back in your life and you don't know what have you done. Okay? You have missed so many opportunities. The importance of the present moment is to recognize that God is working in your life now. Here and now, in your present life, at this moment. Okay? And if you don't live in this moment, you will miss God's opportunity of watching God at work. Watching God working in your life. That's why you have to live in the present moment. Okay? One common way to describe this is to take time to smell the roses. Okay? Live in the present moment. Enjoy the present rather than the regrets in the past or hope for the future or something you may or may not get. What you have is the present. So enjoy the present. Enjoy your walk with God at this moment. Enjoy knowing God. The other thing about the present is that we must learn to celebrate the Sabbath. Okay? To have a day of rest. If we focus too much on the future, then we will not have time for the Sabbath. And I think we need to bring back the Sabbath, the day of rest in our busy life. Time of rest, no work. Otherwise, you find that if you don't do that, you may be end up with more disease, more problems later on. Another way of living in the present is to recognize that good and bad are the situation that you are in are both sides of the same coin. A famous, very wise man, the preacher, says, when times are good, be happy. When times are bad, consider. God has made one as well as the other. Therefore, a man cannot discover anything about his future. Live in the present. Good or bad, treat both the same. Okay? If you're good, you have good time, happy, enjoy. If God has blessed you now, enjoy his blessing. If you're facing trouble, well, I won't say enjoy your suffering, but be aware that God is with you in your suffering now. Jesus says, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. So living in the present moment means treating whatever situation, good or bad, as equal opportunities. To know God, to praise God, to live in His kingdom, and to bless other people. Another thing is living in the present is to realize that life is hard. Last Thursday, Tang Guan, Pastor Gan and myself went to attend a course in counseling. Okay. Mindfulness-based cognitive behavioral therapy. They're very chim, you know. He just says, be aware of what you're doing, basically. Life is hard. Okay? The speaker, Dr. Tan, reminds us that Scott Peck in his book, the road less traveled. First sentence, life is hard. And we have to realize that actually, yeah, life is hard. For some of us, at this moment, life is tough. Okay? And life is so tough that some of us at this moment feel that we are trapped. It could be due to chronic illness. Some of us have diabetes, hypertension, heart failure, and we worry. When will it get worse? Will we end up losing our legs and hands? We worry about cancer. Some of us have cancer and treated, are in remission. And we worry about cancer coming back. So instead of being in the present, we are worried about the future. We're living for the future. I think the future, the future that we think about affecting our presence. But we do not deny. Life is tough. If you have cancer, if you have chronic illnesses, it's tough. If you have handicapped children, you worry. What will happen to them when we are gone? Who will look after my brain damaged child? Or my Down syndrome child? Who will look after them? So we worry. Life is tough. Your marriage may be on the rocks. You know? Okay. Instead of open warfare, it has become cold war now. How do we survive? You know? How do we survive with a spouse who is not a Christian? Who does not allow you to go to church? How do you live every day at a time? You start with addiction. You know that you must break this addiction, either to drugs, to alcohol, to sex, pornography. You know it's bad, but you just cannot. You try and you fail and you try and you fail. Financial problems, right, reel you in and bound you. Loss of loved one, difficult to bear. Okay. You never get away when you lose a loved one. People say time gets better. It doesn't. You still miss them. Depression. So when times are bad, okay, living in the presence is difficult. Okay. You escape to the future. But that is not what God is telling you. God says, give us today our daily bread. Okay, we pray that we for grace to handle our present moment. Depression is very common. I'm sure some of you have experienced with depression, and I do not wish it on my best enemy. I suffer from depression. I've been suffering from depression for 25 years. When I first have it, I thought it was demon possession or demon obsession, oppression. So I did a lot of deliverance, okay, binding all these demons. But it wasn't. Okay. So I was wondering whether demons saying, hey, why is it less attacking us? It wasn't. It was just chronic depression. Because there's a depression in my family and suicide. My grandfather killed himself. And my first uncle killed himself, suicide, because of depression. And being a counselor, I know what are things you do to deal with it. It just doesn't work. And being a Christian, I know all the prayers and all the things to ask God for. And it still doesn't work. It's not that God doesn't, just God is there. But when you are in a depressed state, and those of you who have been depressed know what it's like. Life is two-dimensional. Okay. Not your food doesn't taste good, you don't want to eat. Okay. Nothing excites you anymore. There's no emotion. You're flat. You can't even get out of bed in the morning. And you struggle to go to work. Okay. And you sit down on a chair and you can't even get out of the chair. There's just no energy. And you just go on and on and on. And I learned that the only way I can get out of depression to live one day at a time, one moment at a time. Well, you see me smiling, so that's why they call it a smiling depression. Okay. But inside is all flat. And one of the things that, I know, after so many years, I've been to what are the things that trigger off. And one of the things is funerals. Okay, so I do apologize if I don't come to, not all your funerals, but your loved ones' funerals. But that is one of the things that trigger off the depression. But depression is like many other things, the hard thing that affect us in the future. Being a Christian doesn't excuse us from suffering, from depression. But being a Christian means that know that God is there in spite of what happens in our life. See? Give us today our daily bread. Jesus says, no matter what happens to you, no matter what you, at this moment, whatever you're experiencing, whether good or bad, if it's bad, no. That's why Jesus says, pray. Give us today. Because Jesus says, I know what's going to happen to you. I know what you're going through. I am with you. Just pray. Give us today. I'd like to invite Grace to sing as a song. Thank you, Grace and Joyce. Shall we pray? Father, we just want to commit our lives into your hands, Lord. Our past, our present, and our future. Father, we just want to ask you to help us to live one day at a time. Give us today our daily bread. Help us to heal the wounds of the past. Let's not dwell in the past. Help us to plan for the future, but not us give our whole life and dwell in the future. Help us to live in the present. Where we are, can be aware of your presence, of your love for us, and the love of the people who love us, so that we have time and awareness to replay, to give them back the love they are due to them. We who are mothers and fathers, let us pay our children well today and not spend too much time dwelling in what could have been for their future, but just to spend time and make friends and be with your children today. For those who are suffering, for us who are suffering from problems, whose life is hard at this moment, let your presence be felt. Let us give our support, let us have our support from our brothers and sisters in this community of faith, that we can all bless you and we really understand why you say, pray this way, give us today our daily bread. In Jesus' name, pray.